Time now to go round the grounds for Tommy Ruffs, where the Moroccan Barramundi is just flying off the fry pans as we speak. Jimmy, give us a score from the Gabba.
5 for 259 with a couple of overs left in the game, with Payne on 31 and Green on 20.
You're listening to Sports Day, where it's Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals and Red Energy. And we can now go to the equivalent, say, in Australia, maybe Mark Howard, on his way to becoming a Richie Beno type. Shet Narula is an Indian cricket broadcaster. He joins us on the line to give us the counter view. Welcome to you, Chet, and where do we find you?
Oh, I'm in Delhi right now and watching the game. Yeah, 262 for 5, end of the day's play, almost approaching us. And India have done well to pull things back, haven't they?
We think you got off to a great start, probably lost your way a little bit. I reckon it's probably squared up, but given the side that you've come in with, it's a very positive start.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, who would think this sort of a bowling attack? It's almost like a T20 side. It's not, I mean, you take out Pujara and Rahane, of course, from the T20 side, but it's almost like these players, they're more adept to playing white ball cricket than red ball cricket. And I'm talking about the bowling attack, of course. But yeah, they have done well. Manus Labuschagne keeping Australia ahead. But I think those two wickets from Natarajan have done good damage to the Australian hopes of putting up 500 on the board, maybe 300, 350 now.
So what was the feeling like back in India when you've got a bowling attack which are combined of four test matches, and I think the third one, three of them would have gone to Siraj? Was there confidence after the fantastic draw in Sydney and the fantastic win in Melbourne that anything is possible?
It's a tricky one, to be honest, because, I mean, you look at Melbourne and you look at Sydney. I mean, the bowling attack for India there was fantastic, even if it was not at full strength. You had Bumrah, you had Ashwin, Siraj is doing well. But without those two, I mean, like you said, it's just four test matches between all of these guys. And of course, Saini has now gone off injured. Most of these bowlers have white ball experience. So there aren't too many hopes as such in terms of the result of the series, the result of this test match. But again, it's not a foregone conclusion, because what we have seen in the series, that the Indian team has fought tooth and nail. They've fought for every delivery, every run, every wicket. And I think that is what is on display again today, because, you know, for 2.5 sessions, it looked like Labuschagne was running away with the day, and then Natarajan comes back. And he's not afraid to bounce set batsmen, and he gets those two wickets of short delivery. So, like I said, they are fighting. They're fighting hard, and the batting is at full strength. If not full strength, okay. Not Virat Kohli is not there, so almost full strength. So, yeah, it'll depend on how India bat in the two innings as per the result of this particular test match.
Chetan, you highlighted Saini's injury. Now, if this was in Australia and we lost six bowlers in 3.5 test matches, there'd be an uproar. They'd be asking for a review of strength and conditioning and fitness and what's going on with plans and preparation. What's the feedback in India about, again, another bowler looks to be hurt?
Well, that's an excellent point. And the issue here is that these players have been in bubbles. They have been in bio bubbles for 6 months. And there is a school of thought that it's starting to take a toll. You know, because these are athletes. They're not like regular people that, you know, people like me or anybody else who's just sitting on a desk all day. We are working, we're watching television. No, these are athletes. They have to go to the pool, they have to go to the gym, they are active, they go for practice sessions and everything. And while they have been doing all that, even then we are restricting their movements in bio bubbles. I think it's more to do with that than anything else. And some of the injuries, let's be honest, some of the injuries have also been inflicted during the game. For example, you look at Mohammad Shami. He was hit on his arm, and that's why he was not able to take further part. Similarly for Ravindra Jadeja, he was hit on his thumb, and that's why he's out. So you can't really do anything about those injuries. But some of the other injuries, like the groin and the calf, well, the back, yes, they are a bit worrisome. But right now, all India need to think about is how to get over this test match and then the England series, which is going to be really important in terms of qualifying for the World Test Championship. We're hoping we'll have some bowlers to play during that series.
Rishabh Pant's fascinating for me. He absolutely smoked 100 in the warm-up game and then didn't play the first test. Now he's played an unbelievable innings at the SCG. Is it now time he's just the full-time keeper. There's none of this who the best gloveman is. You just take the good with the bad with punt?
Well, it's again a tricky question because punt is not really a good wicket keeper, is he? I mean, he's dropped a catch today as well. He's dropped a few catches in the...
He averages one drop catch a test.
Yeah, he averages one drop catch a test. So if you score, 80 and 90 runs, but if the batsman you drop goes on and scores 100 and 150, puts his team in front, that almost balances it out. So, look, test matches are all about taking those 20 wickets. You can't have a wicketkeeper dropping catches. You can't really be dropping any catches, to be honest. And India's fielding has been really bad in that sense. But having said that, it's an interesting debate because, there are a few options available to Indian cricket. There's K.S. Bharat, there's Ishan Kishan, youngsters who are very good keepers and batsmen. Ishan Kishan is almost like Rishabh Pant in the sense that probably a better keeper, but he's almost as good as with the bat in hand. I think there's a school of thought that says maybe play Pant as a specialist batsman and get in another keeper. I think we might see that play out in the home series. But again, there are lots of ifs and buts because Saha is an excellent wicketkeeper, although he's not as good with the bat. So really tricky. And, these are the sort of questions when you don't want to be the captain or coach.
I tell you what, as a commentator, Chetan, I reckon you'd love to have Ishan Kishan come in. You could do a hell of a lot with that as a commentator.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
Ishan Kishan's gone missing. Ishan Kishan's gone fishing. Ishan Kishan, he's gone kissing. I mean, there's a hell of a... there's a hell of a lot you could do with that. I get the feeling, listening to those Indian commentators that I've heard in the last week or so, that you're actually probably more proud of the fact that you've fought hard than any other element of this particular series against Australia. It's the fight that you're actually proud of, and it seems to have cut a major swathe through every commentator's psyche.
Oh, absolutely. I think you just look at the way the situation has developed from the very first test or from the moment India has landed over there. Virat Kohli not playing majority of the test series. A lot of Australian ex-cricketers, don't mind me saying that, a lot of Australian ex-cricketers said that without Virat Kohli, it's a no-brainer, really. Australia are going to win the series. And especially after that 36 all-out. I mean, that dents your psyche, doesn't it? I mean, 36 all-out. Who gets all-out for 36? Even colony teams or gully cricket teams don't get out for 36. The issue here is that, again, it's a mental battle, not just in terms of what the ex-cricketers are saying, because most of the cricketers block that out, but it's also about fighting your own inner demons. The team coming together, nobody giving them a chance after Virat Kohli, went away on leave. And of course, you had a 36 all-out. Then, of course, there have been some issues. Again, don't mind me saying this, but there have been some off-field issues with the sledging, with some of the perpetrated racial abuse, or the question mark of whether we are going to play at the Gabba or not, with the Queensland government imposing a bio bubble. So all of these, these become factors. Let's just say that. They become factors to spurring a team on, and nobody is really great at spurring a team on than Ravi Shastri. And this Indian team, this fighting image of the Indian team, is actually Ravi Shastri, because he's a born fighter. He's fought his way on the field. He takes a stand with the commentary mic in his hand. As a coach, he shoots from the hip. So this is, sometimes it's said that, a captain's image is reflected on his team. I think this is the coach's imprint on the Indian team.
Can I ask you about Virat Kohli? He's my favourite cricketer in the world right now, but it does appear as if the success in the second test under Rahane, or in the third test, I should say, under Rahane, and stumps have been drawn as we speak. No change to that particular score with the wickets, that is. It's 5 for 274, Payne 38, Green 28. But has Virat Kohli... Has he lost some skin on the knee over the last 2 weeks or so, given how well you've done under Rahane?
Well, it's an evolving debate, really, about captaincy. And even yesterday, I was recording a couple of podcasts, and the captaincy issue came up again. it's not just about Rahane, is it? It's also about Rohit Sharma in white ball cricket. So there's an underlying tone or underlying debate about captaincy, which is not really going away. Knowing Virat Kohli, it'll be a bit irksome for him because he likes, you know, he likes to be the center of attention. He is that sort of a player. The issue here is, forget white ball cricket. In red ball cricket, India haven't done badly under him, have they? They've gone and they've won overseas test matches. They won in Australia in 2018. They have been the world number one side for a while. And when he started as test captain, India were number 7 in the test rankings. So he's done well in that sense. However, I think it's time to question whether India can do better. You know, can they go the extra mile if we have a different captain? For my mind, I covered the South Africa tour, the England tour, and the Australia tour, and India should have won in South Africa, if not in England. They should have won a test series in South Africa in 2018. They did not do that because there were some captaincy blunders. Similarly, the same thing happened in England as well. So maybe a different captain who's a bit calmer, maybe, maybe. It's just a very big maybe. To my mind, Indian cricket is not ready for a healthy captaincy debate at the moment. That's where we stand at the moment.
It's very interesting. I won't name this person, but legend of Australian sport in AFL football. And I asked him about a team that went from power broker to down the bottom of the ladder, split the club open many years ago. And he said, I asked him why it happened. And he said, well, it happens in a lot of teams that are dominant. It all comes about because there's a fight over who gets the credit. And I just wonder whether or not this has the potential to split Indian cricket. Ravi Shastri's at the top. You've got Rahane. You've got Virat Kohli. You've got all sorts of people looking for credit rather than just all enjoying your successes that you've seen. And I know that, you know, in team sports, there's always a few downs amongst the successes, but not a time, in my view, to be undermining Virat Kohli and others looking for a little piece of the credit as to why things are going well.
No, I don't think that's going to happen in Indian cricket, to be very honest, because one thing that, you know, what we discuss and everything that's all on the outside, because one thing that is for certain is that the dressing room, the sanctity of the dressing room is paramount. Mm-hmm. Ravi Shastri is not going to come out and undermine Virat Kohli. Ajinkya Rahane is not going to do that. Rohit Sharma is not going to do that. Virat Kohli is not going to do that.
Good.
So
yep.
whether it's a random guy speaking to you on the phone or some guy writing a newspaper column, it does not matter. The sanctity of the dressing room, if there is, you know, apart from the fighting thing, this is something that I have witnessed over the last 12 years of covering cricket, and it has started from the time of MS Dhoni. The sanctity of the Indian dressing room is paramount. And the debates, well, it's all about the media, right? We like these debates. Mm. We like these discussions. But it is not going to split that Indian team apart. No way.
Chetan, it's been fantastic to have a chat to you. You are brilliant to talk to, and we'd love to have a regular chat if we can. Good luck for the rest of this test and taking on England as an Indian broadcaster.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I think you're allowed to use the royal we.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Chetan Narula, I told you he had great potential. I've listened to him over in India broadcasting, and he is a class act, like most things in and around Indian cricket. This is Sports Day. Plenty more ahead for McDonald's. 7 new flavours of frozen Coke at Macca's are now available. Get in and get yourself slurping.